and welcome back for another episode of Recruitment 101 by Skills Alliance. Today I am joined by Natalie Drew and Mark Damien Crosby to talk all about why we are not just a standard recruitment agency. So without further ado, I will hand over to the two of them to introduce themselves.
Hello, my name is Mark Damien Crosby. I'm a team leader here at Skills Alliance. My market or desk that I look after is professional services and computational sciences and engineering for permanent hires globally.
I'm Natalie. I'm one of the associate directors and I sit within our medical devices division. I look after a few of our core markets globally, which includes ophthalmology, which is essentially devices used within eye surgery, aesthetics, which is used within skin contouring, and medical imaging, which would cover multiple modalities such as x-ray, MRI, ultrasound.
Quite a variety there. I feel like aesthetics is a good one to be.
it's a very interesting market.
Yeah, I'll be all over that one. Amazing, thanks everyone. So we'll move straight in. So as we know, Skills Alliance is a global workforce solutions firm, not just a recruitment agency. So this is imprinted everywhere now since our new rebrand. We have really flown with this. So can you talk to me about the different solutions that we offer that go against perhaps the stereotypical contingent recruitment model?
Yes, Skills goes beyond filling positions. You know, we map out a talent landscape across industries, identify candidates who match not only skills, but also bring novel capabilities to the team. And this enables clients to look at the stereotypical JD. We offer subscription models for talent identification. You know, easiest, it's like think of Netflix for recruitment. This model ensures ongoing support and engagement, enables us to foster long-term relationships aimed at identifying mutual, you know, success through talent identification. We adapt to market changes, especially for biotech startups as well, whether that's through funding or hiring crunches, specializing support to internal HR teams, other services, dedicated screening. So again, HR teams, when they build out their own functions, have excess talent and don't necessarily need the stereotypical model, but maybe they need help around the screening for a dedicated recruiter who can provide that technical nuance. So we also do that. Fixed cost candidate maps is another service we've been utilizing, you know, quite heavily in 2023. Again, working to our clients' budgets. I think from this, you know, there's obviously we could go on nearly all day, but the idea is to be a lean, agile, and be a partner truly for our clients.
So given the competitive market that we are all currently experiencing, sort of moving our way into 2024, how can you now maximise a client's budget, you know, where perhaps it might have be a bit tighter and, you know, all of the new budgets have just been decided in 2024? How would you maximise what you've got?
Well, I work with a lot of startups or companies going through scale-up mode. So budgets can be quite restricted or tight if they do need to do a lot of spending in a short space of time. So a lot of those companies that we do work with, we might maybe suggest like project basis. So we could split up the year into quarters, what's the priorities that they need per quarter, work out costings based on the entire project and loop things in, and then we can break down the costs for that. So we can work around their budgets. If we took on the whole project, we could offer, you know, might be a slightly reduced because we're sharing the risk that's involved. We take on that entire project instead of just one-off roles. Mm-hmm. So that can be a way that we work. Definitely the startups, they like to split costs down into several payments. Works better for cash flow reasons. But, you know, if they're about to receive FDA or things like that, then at least, you know, we can be one step ahead, mm-hmm. start pipelining and then split up the budget that way.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that when you sort of have multiple roles for one company to fill, let's say they're about to get FDA and they are sort of looking to fill up a lot, do you find that now that you're trying to maximise the budget, is it more sort of heading towards more of what like an RPO or an MSP would offer? as sort of including that in now the normal sort of staffing recruitment offerings?
Yeah, I would say it follows a similar model of what that process consists of. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all the fact-finding that we would do behind the scenes to work out budgets, very specific in terms of salaries, timeframes, deliverables, we would work to the same principles, mm-hmm. And then just roll that out in a staffing manner. But yes, yeah. Similar principles.
Have you found that as well?
Yes. There's conversations I've had internally here with, I wouldn't say some of these solutions or ideas that may pop up into my head, where that is things that MSPs do or RPOs do. You know, mm-hmm. I think they're now also changing their models to a certain extent, because the traditional RPO or MSP was everything is outsourced. So the company would just hand it over. While is now they do little parts of it. You know, you look mm-hmm. after this, look after this. We'll do stage 3 and 4. You do 1, 2, and you know, holistically we'll work together.
So it really is a group effort.
Yeah, it's a group effort, and it's starting to, again, that mix and match model, you know, or pick and mix, like in a, you know, I want a bit of this, I want a bit of that, I want a bit of this.
Tailor-made
solutions, understanding where the pain points are. And I think, and MSP and RPOs are doing that. Mm-hmm. And you know, and we do that as well, you know, with our clients. So yeah, I would concur with what Natalie is saying.
Yeah. What part of the hiring experience do you think is the most crucial stage? So, you know, what do you do to enhance the experience during said stage, whichever one you think is the most crucial?
Okay, so my honest opinion would probably be all of it, but mixed up into different sections. So, because of course, finding the right person is crucial, who meets the technical needs as well as the softer skills that might be vital to get the first, get it right first of all. But equally, you know, if we're working in a highly competitive market, communication is so key. So it's not just about finding that someone, take the foot off the gas, like really you've got to keep in touch, make people feel valued. If other companies are going above and beyond to make someone feel like they're wanted, then that can be a huge factor in their decision-making process. So probably a cop-out answer, but I do think that there's different levels to it, that you do need to maximize all of it. You've got to find the right person, then you've got to keep nourishing that relationship every step of the way, even when contracts are out, still you've just got to keep in touch, communication. I'd say all of it really.
Do you find that once you really focus on this stage, you have sort of fewer dropouts per se, and sort of fewer ghostings? I know that we've just done an article previously on ghosting during the hiring process. So do you find that this actually prevents that ghosting?
Ghosting unfortunately is inevitable. It's in human DNA to run away from some problems, but I would say if you're open with your communication, transparent at every step of the way, then it can definitely help improve that situation. Mm-hmm. Obviously you're still going to get people that are just scared of commitment maybe and go, oh no, I'm not ready for this, and instead of just saying I'm not ready for this, mm-hmm. do ghost you. But definitely I think if you do everything that you can to show that you're working professionally, this is the way you work for their best interest, then definitely it would improve.
Yeah. Do you agree? Is this the most crucial stage?
I think all of it, not to cop out, but all of it. I spoke with an incredibly large pharmaceutical, and their TA at one occasion was juggling 36 open requisitions.
Wow.
And we had a very detailed conversation around candidate experience, and they don't have any, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a bit, they probably don't have to because they have such a large brand and everyone wants to work for them and recognizable name. If you're a smaller business, I think their candidate experience is exceptional, or tends to be. If it is if it's not, the likelihood of getting a candidate to join would be very small. The larger organisations, I'm not saying they don't want to do it, but they can't offer it.
Mm-hmm.
They just can't. With the volume of applicants, the way the TA teams are structured, you can't give a candidate experience to 36 jobs.
Yeah.
That would, if it was a minimum of 5 applicants, which it's not, it's 200, 300, how are you going to give a candidate experience to over 12,000 people?
Do you find that when you're working with these companies that are much bigger and hiring on a mass scale, that you try sort of harder to provide that candidate experience, knowing that it's not going to come as much so from the, you know, the big pharma giants that the end product's going to?
Yeah, I think recruiters take on the candidate experience. When it's outsourced to us, we are wearing the logo of that company. Mm-hmm. We are an extension of them. Mm-hmm. How we pitch the role, how we communicate, schedule, feedback, that is a direct reflection of the organization. So when we're engaged, I think we, as recruiters, and we're not perfect, we will drop the ball here or there, we do have to be as best as possible, or
yeah,
as close to gold standard as possible.
Mm. Yeah.
If not, we're going to have difficulties further down the road.
Yeah. And I do think the recruitment industry as a whole has a bad reputation for not providing the best communication and following up. So I think it's our job to make sure that we're just doing that, you know, mm-hmm. communicating, and that simple act of responding to emails when they've emailed us for feedback, just to say, sorry, we haven't heard anything, goes such a long way.
Yeah.
I think we have to try and overcome that stigma that the industry has.
It's interesting that you say that, because, you know, when I've spoken to people that aren't in the recruitment industry, they often think that it's the other way around and recruiters pester to sort of, are you still looking? Are you doing this? What are you doing now? Do you want this? Do you want that? So it's really interesting that as a recruiter in the industry, you think it's the other way around.
I would say, yes, we have that reputation, pestering when there's the need there, and then when there's not, then it drops off. Yeah. So again, there needs to be a balance.
Yeah.
Don't pester.
Don't pester.
Communicate effectively.
So we have sort of touched upon this a slight bit already, but as we have mentioned, many companies now do have their own internal talent acquisition team. Why do these companies still need you then? So we've spoken about sort of giving them a bit of the candidate experience that perhaps these bigger companies aren't sort of giving them, and you putting that sort of jacket on instead. But is there another reason why the company is still going to need you? So not the candidate, the actual company. Why do they need you? Why do the TA teams need you? Why can't they do it on their own?
I'll use an acronym that should resonate with them as a KPI. Time to fill, I think, is where we can make an impact. And that's a measure that most TAs, no matter what size the organisation is, tends to be held accountable to. Or it's a metric they need to improve. I think, you know, skills can offer a huge impact in enabling them to improve that, quite simply right at the beginning stage at screening. So there's excess talent in R&D candidates right now because of what we've just gone through in 2023. And I think clients they see 200, 300 applicants on a job within 24 hours. We don't need an agency support. Thank you. Goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is the TA inside that for whatever job, the likelihood is they're not a specialist. There's a strong likelihood that they won't be. So it could be the first or maybe second or maybe never time that they've spoken to candidates in this field.
Mm-hmm.
They are not going to be able to assess good and bad or screen as effectively as someone that's been doing it 3 years. They just won't. So just outsourcing that small upfront, which is a lot of heavy work and slows things down, just outsourcing that to a specialized consultant could drastically improve time to fill. And the end result is your 200 applicants, 300, whatever, can be compiled to 10, qualified, screened, and then introduced. And they can take it from there after that.
Mm.
That's just one part that I think would enable and help them massively. But they probably don't get told a lot of agencies do that.
Mm. I mean, I'd probably work, I'd say half the clients I work with have TA teams, half don't. The ones that do, I work really, really closely with them, because a lot of the time, the candidates that we'll source, for example, there, you know, they might get applicants still themselves, but I'm always networking the passive candidates, you know, going to trade shows, conferences, just keeping in touch with people in the industry, that making a note, you know, for when they are looking, this could be the perfect role that they just wouldn't be applying for because they're not on the market. So it's those candidates that the TA teams wouldn't have access to, and because it is time sensitive, they don't have the time that we might have to go and network, because they've got the whole business to look after, you know, from R&D through to sales and beyond. Whereas if we're looking after a specific part of the market, we're really narrowing that down and knowing who's out there, who the best people are, so we can have a higher level quality potentially. Not every time, but potentially, you know, if they're not looking, they might be, you know, stronger candidates.
Do you find that now that, you know, bigger TA teams are sort of emerging, that you're taking tasks from the TA teams, sort of talent mapping and things like this, rather than filling the role itself?
If we look at it the traditional way, because everything gets outsourced, then we are taking work away from them. Maybe we can do a poll afterwards, but if you did a poll and asked TAs, would you like to outsource pre-screening applicants, I'd say 100% would say yes.
Yeah.
So there are parts of the recruitment, you know, open to close, that can be outsourced, that they would like to outsource, and they would not look at it as they're taking work away from it. If anything,
in a friendly way, a good taking of the work.
I think they would be happy, if I'm honest. Yeah.
Well, listeners, keep an eye out for a poll that's going to result in...
Prove me wrong.
Yeah. So, sort of to summarise everything then, do you think that as a whole the industry is moving away from the stereotypical contingent model, or is this something that is very special to Skills Alliance?
You've got to keep moving forward and evolve with industries. I think there's definitely a lot of agencies out there that aren't perhaps adopting more modern methods. Skills Alliance definitely are. I think we're very forward thinking, innovative. Yeah, we are. So I think because of that, you know, it obviously shows in the output that we can give and what service we can offer our clients. But it's essential. I think you have to keep evolving with the times, seeing what new technology is out there, what new methods, what our clients need, and adapt to that. And we do that very well.
We do.
Must say so myself.
Yeah. Not to toot your own horn. Anything to add as well?
Yeah, the most important thing I think we do at Skills here, where in the past probably not as open as, is that I can bring an idea to the table and at least get it discussed with directors. And a lot of the times, 9 out of 10, they'll be like, okay, we trust you.
Roll with it.
See what comes back. So I think that in itself is, I think, one thing that I believe we probably do a bit differently here than other recruitment agencies, is there's a willingness to try and help our clients.
Yeah, well, continuous improvement.
One of our core models, 1% better every day. And I genuinely do think there's people here that want to do that and help their clients.
Yeah. Well, it's been great talking to you, both of you. Thanks so much for being a part of the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Likewise. Thank you for all your hard work and organising this.
Well, catch us next time on the next episode of Recruitment 101.